Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
Yes, sir.
And we're a little bit late this week, but we're still here. We're still kicking.
Yeah.
We're as
late as a West Coast road trip for you freaks over there.
I don't know. It's been a long week, and it's Tuesday, so there's going to be a lot of, if you came here for a positive podcast, you're probably not going to get that. And maybe until we start talking about the Celtics, and then Tim can be a little bit more positive than I'm going to be today. But
yeah,
Bruins, not so great.
Not so great. Okay. So what did we say? What would we have liked out of that road trip? We said seven or eight points.
Well,
to make up for the homestand?
I'll just tell you that we've gotten 11 out of 22 possible points recently. So, like, we're still getting points, but that's not the I don't care.
There's a new name for this team. There's a new name.
Okay.
The one-point Warriors.
Jesus.
God, we're so sick at getting to overtime. We're awesome. We're so good at getting and then losing overtime. We try to lose in regulation. We're sure to allow a power play for the other team under 5 minutes. It's almost guaranteed in every game.
Yeah.
That we do eventually tie it up or we're up one. But good God, this team loves getting a point in overtime, and that's it.
So we're officially cursed in the Ford F-150 Final Five.
Yep.
So I don't even know. I don't know what to say. I mean, like,
someone's going to call Dennis Leary and get a quote.
You're our closest connection, so
yeah, it's true. I'll hit up Jack.
What I will say is, like, we're still number one in the league as of right this moment, assuming that, or we're tied with Vancouver, first in their division, first in the East, blah blah blah. If I'm off by a point here, then don't crucify me.
Stop listening forever.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, this is not a first place team, and this is not a number one team in the league, and this is a team that will get absolutely demolished in the playoffs. If it's not a sweep, it's a 5-game sweep.
Like, gentlemen's,
it's just, this is not good, dude. Like, I know that sounds stupid to say, but, like, it's just really not. You know, there are so many of these games that we could have closed out and we could have got 2 points and we could have given the other team 0 points. And that just didn't happen. And it's becoming a major problem because it's like, yes, we have some injuries on the back end on defense, but that's not what's causing these issues. Like, yes, our defense is playing poorly, but it's the goaltending, it's the effort in the last, let's just say the third period. You know, like, it's the effort in the third period because they're clearly not putting in the effort that needs to be there to close out the game. If you have a 2-goal lead,
or it's like that, or it's catch up, because I feel like if they don't have the lead, that's when they start to play. Like, there's been a couple times where we've come back in the third.
Sure, but a lot of these have been
when we're ahead, they blow it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, last night they let off the pedal.
But what I don't understand is, like, look, again, I don't need to preface this every single time that we talk poorly on the Bruins, but, like, I'm not a hockey player, I'm not a professional athlete, but, like, I don't understand how the coaching isn't making these guys change what is wrong, because it's game after game now. Like, we're not talking this is 2 games in a row. Like, this is a problem over the last 10 games, 11 games. Like, since the All-Star break, they've had these issues. And the issues that continue to happen game after game that aren't improving. And I just don't understand, like, do you not want to, are they just not working on these things that are, you know, glaring issues? I just don't get it. Because it doesn't seem like, when we watch these games and we're like, man, that was bad. And then we watch the next game and we're like, man, that same exact thing was bad. And then we do that 3 or 4 games in a row. I just don't understand, like, what are you working on then? Like, what is happening here? You know, it's frustrating, like, to watch, because they are a better team. And, of course, like, we're really complaining about a team that's in first place. There are bigger problems.
But that's not what you started this doing.
You started by calling
us not a first place team, which
I still agree with that.
I fully agree with.
But I'm saying, like, you know, we're not complaining about a team that's out of the playoffs and fighting for a spot and being even more frustrated. It's like we have a good position right now where we can deal with these issues and fix it, hopefully, and be in a better position and not drop into third or out of a playoff spot. Yeah. So I just don't. I don't know. It's really hard. It's really hard to even like critique it because it's like, yes, you're still getting points. Yes, you're still in first place, but you're not playing like a first place team. You're not playing like a team that isn't going to get absolutely smoked by someone in the playoffs. Like, I just don't know how to feel about this team. It's the most frustrating and strange like feeling to criticize them while they're in first place because they don't feel that way.
What do we got? Is the deadline the first?
No, the deadline's like March 15th or something.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's late.
I mean, what you're highlighting isn't entirely personnel issues. It's more of a coaching thing, and I don't disagree. I gotta wonder.
Sorry, March 8th, by the way.
Okay, so 10-ish days out.
Yeah.
I don't totally. You know, I don't disagree with the coaching thing. I got to wonder if what we've said all year and what we've hoped for all year with the bridge year and being able to spend the off season and this, that, and the other thing is, you know, they're looking at this like, wow, we're really playing with house money. Like, we're at the top of the league and this is not the best roster that we think we can put out in the next two seasons. And look at us. Whether or not that's them fumbling a real opportunity to win a cup. I mean, obviously, I guess if you make the playoffs, you're fumbling a real opportunity to make the cup. Therefore, those adjustments are scarier. Also, that, you know, that outlook is front office, not the head coach or the coaching staff or anything thinking like, we'll be better next year. It's like, you got to perform now.
Right.
The lack of corrections and anything like that from a guy who feels like he overcorrected last year and that was kind of what hurt us.
Yeah.
Is pretty terrifying. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Dude, I don't know.
I know the ending to the games when I put it on.
Yeah.
Edmonton, I knew was going to overtime when we were up two goals at the end of the first period.
Yeah.
Or at the end of the second, even like every game of that I knew was going to go south at some point and then did. And some of them would surprise me and we'd win in overtime. We are the first team since 2017-2018 to have six games in a row decided in overtime or shootout.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's so good for your heart rate and blood pressure and stuff. This team is infuriating. The worst part is that they don't surprise me with how they're going to blow it. You're right. It's just so repetitive. It's just repetitive. It's the same. 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 I can write it. I can script how they're going to lose these games, and they continue to do it that way. I don't want to watch how we're going to lose on Thursday, but I will.
The most frustrating thing was like I had to listen to some of this game on the radio because I was driving, and they just kept saying, like, I swear they said it two or three times in a row that Seattle has nothing going. This was probably in the second period. They're like, they have nothing going. Their passing is terrible. They're not getting good opportunities in the offensive zone. The Bruins need to take advantage of this. And they said it again. And they weren't wrong. Seattle had nothing going. But then when the Bruins let them get back into it and in the third period, then they turned it on and they took that momentum and they used it the way they're supposed to use it. Like, here's the other thing too is Pasta scored a hat trick. There shouldn't be a game where that doesn't get the team hyped up and you don't get a win out of that game. I mean, there's not a lot of nights where you score three. I don't know. I shouldn't say that anymore because
it's a lazy Susan rotation of who's going to show up each night. And it's never a whole line. It's a guy.
Yeah.
And it's been Marchand a lot. And even when sometimes it'll be Marchand and he's not even able to put points on the board.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. Yeah. The most unsung Pasternak hat trick I've ever seen. That's even considering the, I'd say, pretty large amount of hats that came out of the stands in Seattle for him.
Yeah.
It's just, it's brutal. Another thing, and this is such a small note. Two other things. One is it's really hard to do a podcast on this team and not sound repetitive when they're doing the same thing wrong.
Right.
And it's discipline and it's giveaways and it's just terrible, like just non showing up on defense and not putting pucks on the net, and it's just the same and same and same and same and same. And then the other thing is just like, never mind, it's gone.
So for me, it's the finish. It's just like they started the game so well, and they really
sure, but they do the inverse too. Like they start the game so poorly,
yeah.
Like they don't show up. It's just like they lose both ways, and it still feels like the same issue. It's like, where's the spark? Just try for 60 minutes.
Yeah,
try for 40. Take the second period off and figure out what you got to do in the third. Like, just it's killing me.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, that's why I say I don't know if. I don't know if I'm frustrated for other reasons as well, and that's making my complaints about this team even stronger. But I don't know, dude. It's frustrating to watch because it's like this team is definitely better than they've been leading on these last 10, 11 games. Like they really are.
They are.
To lose to Seattle twice is a problem. Like they're terrible this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They got to figure it out. And they got to figure it out quick because
I was so happy when they came out so hot. Like yeah, they were same. Crushing it.
But you know, the playoffs are going to be here before you know it. It's already March. You know, we only have a month and a half left of the season. It's basically March, you know? Like we have one more game in
February before you know it too.
Well, no comment.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see what the roster does in the next 10 days, if anything. I'll be kind of surprised if it's massively shaken up. We've talked all about that.
Yeah.
Just it's getting hard to not say the same thing over and over when it's the same issue over and over. And I don't know, this team having two teams in first place, this feels like the one to complain about more. How hasn't the Rangers taken us over?
Well,
they're on fire.
Well, we've been battling with them off and on, but again, we're also in a different division than they are. So as far as in the East, you know, we've been within a point of them for a while now, for weeks, you know. We've kind of been up and down. But, again, we're second in the Atlantic now. The Panthers are tied with us with 82, and they must, you know, have the tiebreaker or whatever. So, I don't want it. Take it. Go ahead. Take the President's Trophy. We don't need that.
Please take the President's Trophy. Please.
Speaking of President's Trophy, I think I've laid into the Bruins enough, and I don't need to give any more to that. So, but I do want to say something here. I need to face something head on here, Tim. And what it is that I am now second in the fantasy hockey league.
Okay. Well, you got to adapt your feeling about the President's Trophy
listen,
to that.
Listen,
sounding pathetic.
Listen to me.
Okay.
I lost to Badger, so that was tough. That's a tough, tough loss.
Nosebleed faithful.
Yeah, that's a tough, tough loss. And because I was also called out, we got to give a shout out to our boy Bert, who is now number one in the league. Congratulations to Bert. It only took him 20 weeks. Yes, that is right. 20 weeks to become first in the league.
That's how long we've been playing fantasy hockey.
Good for him. He finally got that. We got to match up him and I in a couple weeks or next week actually. But congratulations. We might as well just give him the trophy now because, you know, according to him, it's such a big deal. But yeah, I mean, I'm
the President's Trophy is a curse in the NHL.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
See what happens in fantasy.
He's all excited to have the President's Trophy in the fantasy league, but I'm just telling you right now. I mean, I clinched the playoffs way back. You know, I've been ready. So my guys, I'm just we're resting. We're resting,
you should
getting
rest.
Ready
nice.
For the playoffs.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bert, he can have it, but playoffs are a different breed.
Take it off your back. You don't want it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, congratulations to him. It only took him 20 weeks to get there.
Hell yeah. I have a 3% chance of making the playoffs, not officially eliminated yet. Let's go!
Yeah, I think there's only a couple people who have been officially eliminated, but we got, two more weeks after this week of fantasy hockey.
By the way, speaking of things we've talked about recently, do we pat ourselves on the back for putting Alex Ovechkin back on course, or...
No.
Or what?
No, I don't. No. I didn't want that. I didn't want that to happen.
I mean, I thought it might help my fantasy, but now I'm.
What does he have now? Like, is he up to 20
goals?
He did
like a 10-point streak. It wasn't even a 10-goal streak. It was six goals in six games at one point, and then I think it was all assists. I don't know. I can't bring myself to watch the Washington Capitals unless they're on national television and I'm at work.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
He's at 16 goals in 55 games this year. That has to be the worst year he's ever had.
It's the biggest career fall off I've heard in a long time.
There's only one other time that he scored under 30 goals so far, or 24 goals. And that was in the COVID year with 45 games. So.
Well, yeah, it's a COVID year.
Right. But I'm saying in 45 games, he had 24 goals. In 55 this year, he has 16. So, boo.
Yeah, it's worse.
But yeah, congratulations to Bert for winning the Fantasy Hockey League in week 20. Oh, wait, it's not over yet, so shut up.
Our boy Bert.
See you in the playoffs, bud.
Bud.
All right. We've had enough hate on the Bruins on this episode. So let's talk about the Celtics because damn.
The Boston Celtics are good at basketball. They do frustrating things, but I won't even complain anymore. I'll just shut up until we don't have a 8-point lead, 8-game lead on the rest of the league. Hey, I actually think that expanded tonight.
Did you happen to see any of the clips from Pritchard and Derek White on like one of the Barstool podcasts?
No.
They were on and they I think whatever the one is with Big Cat, but he FaceTimed Blake Griffin because they were like he asked those two guys, he said, how was it being teammates with Blake Griffin? They were like, he's the best. And then they were like, you ever try to get him back on the team? And they're like, all the time. And then so they FaceTimed him and they were like, why don't you come back? Like, well, come on, come back. And he's like, I'm just enjoying my life and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, so Blake doesn't want to go.
Nah, he doesn't. He was like, I'm good. He was like,
so we've probably been down to offer him the vet minimum.
Oh, I guarantee it. By the way that they sounded and the way they were talking, it sounds like they did do that.
He's just good.
He's just all set. But they were even like, not the Celtics guys, but the Barstool guys were like, why don't you come back and, win that ring?
Yeah. Even at like 5 minutes in one game.
I love Blake.
Yeah. I love Blake too. So the Boston Celtics have won 9 in a row.
Hang on. Crunching numbers. Good. Yeah, crunching numbers over here. 4 plus 5 equals 9. That's a lot. That's good.
That sounds good, right? Yeah, it's not double digits, but it's as close as you can get.
It's pretty damn close to that, actually.
Yeah, not bad. I do think this team is still, a Kristaps Porzingis away from being in the mix and not a clear leader. I'm still worried about what happens when the pressure's turned up. Do we turn into ISO ball? But right now, we look good. Took about three quarters to look good tonight. The Sixers kept it pretty close with checks notes. Yeah, no one I've ever heard of before. And Tyrese Maxey. Some old guys, whatever. Nick Nurse is a great coach. Shout out to Giannis for taking Doc Rivers. I feel great. I don't know what else to say. We're looking great out of the All-Star break. Jaylen Brown's shooting better since the All-Star break, which is cool. Just everything is clicking on all sorts of levels, and we need to see some. It's time to like kind of size up with the rest of the league. A little bit of a bummer just league wide tonight. Anthony Edwards left his game in Minnesota, looked like a non-contact Achilles rupture. So that would be probably the end of the Wolves' hopes, and they are currently in first place in the West, so kind of a big thing to happen tonight.
Ouch.
But nice win for the Seas against the Sixers tonight. Been on obviously an absolute tear, and I just let's make it a crazy record. Let's keep it going.
So I know that I've complained about Jason Tatum in the past about things that aren't necessarily basketball related.
Okay.
So I don't I'm not a Jason Tatum hater. I love him. He's great. He's a great player. But I want to know what your thoughts are on his comments about the MVP thing. Like, I think somebody had asked him some question about being MVP, and he was like, I hope people understand that, you know, we have such a good team, and I'm not going to have the sexy numbers like everyone else because our team is so good. So hopefully, still get consideration. Right, right. It's like, why do you care? Like, I know he cares. Like, you want to be the MVP. That's all well and good, and he should definitely be in the conversation. But, like, shouldn't your main goal right now be winning a championship? Like, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. He was talking, you're having the conversation about his greatness? Like, take my own headphones out.
No, I think
it's my podcast now. Hold on.
I think it was like, I don't think it was about, think it was about his greatness, right? It was about him being like,
the face of the league.
Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't hate it. He's asked it at All-Star break. Yes, you should be focused on this, that, and the other thing. I believe the way the question was phrased is LeBron's on his way out, Durant's on his way out, Steph Curry's towards the end of his career. Who are the next faces of the league? And I want a guy like Jason Tatum to say I should be the face of the league. I loved everyone on ESPN who highlighted, like, hey, dude, you barely have a personality and, like, you're kind of boring. And that's fine, too. But I like the confidence of it. I appreciate the confidence of it. I think we want Jason Tatum to say that I don't need humble Jason Tatum here. You know what I mean? And he's asked the question. So it's like, if he's asked this question outside of the All-Star break, I have more of a problem with it. I feel like the All-Star break is like, we all pretend basketball just didn't happen for a while. We talk about whatever. LeBron's talking about truly whatever. Also, LeBron's gone from his son looks better than most guys in the league to a mock draft. ESPN just took
let him play
Bronny that out of it. Yeah. Shut up and let him be a kid. Let him play. It's like, all right, dude, you did this to him. I don't hate Tatum's response to a question. He didn't offer out that information. I like that he has the confidence to say he should be the face of the league. He should be in a winning standpoint, but my God, my guy, I love you very much, but your son, it's crazy your son came from you, because he has about 1,000% more personality at the age of 4. I love you. I think you're great, but, like, you don't exude.
Yeah.
Charisma.
Right.
Like, you got it, but you're like, even when you're talking and you're like, he doesn't like, he's not reserved in word selection or in, like, what he'll say, but anything he says feels reserved.
Yeah.
And I just think face of the league is, you know, different than that. I do want to shout out what he did recently with the single mom, like the banking thing to help, like, single mothers, stuff like that.
I heard about
commercial. This new commercial campaign, he launched it during the All-Star break, and I don't want to butcher it, but essentially his mom put him on his back and allowed him to get all the opportunities to be where he is. As someone who was also raised by a single mother, put me on her back to be where I am now, baby. At the top of the NBA, next face of the league. It's a really, really, really seems like a really cool idea. But, you know, I don't trust banks, bro. Let me read that shit.
Okay. All right.
Nah, it's great. Shout out to Jason Tatum. But yeah, I don't know. I'd rather that not be a discussion that we're having in the middle of the season, but I do think that was thrown at him and he didn't. I think that's the response you want out of him.
Yeah.
You want him to say that. You don't want him to be like, I'm not really a face in this league.
Well, I'm still standing by the fact that I don't like his Subway commercial. I'm not changing my tune on that one.
Okay, but do you like his Ruffles chips?
Yeah, I do actually.
Spicy barbecue.
Those things
rips.
Yeah, they rip. It
rips. Or is it spicy sour cream onion? Whatever. They're all rip.
There's the AD ones. There's the Tatum ones, and then there's LeBron.
LeBron, yeah.
There's AD ones for sure.
Oh, okay, and then there's a lady.
There's
might
a lady.
Be a WNBA, might be a soccer star who has one too, but I don't know.
I'm a chip guy, so I'm sure that they're all great.
Yeah, Lay's, Ruffles, these companies don't miss.
Nah.
Kettle chips missed once. You ever had the Korean barbecue kettle chips?
No.
They're wet.
Ew, what?
I don't know. The only bag I had was wet, so wrote it off.
I would assume that they're not all wet, dude.
Well, they were all wet in a sealed bag. Okay. So, no, Kettle, you're great in other ways, but do less.
Yeah.
This is welcome to the Chip Pod.
Yep.
Balcony Chipper.
Chip Chatter.
Balcony Snacker.
We are a Bruins, Celtics, Premier League, XFL, and Chip Podcast.
MLS Lays Podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. UFL now.
So if any chip companies out there want to sponsor us, let us know. We know
and for all you waiting all for the UFL preview, that's a couple weeks away. We don't have until the end of March, so the league kicks off. Didn't get a congratulations about the Liverpool Reds winning the EFL.
Who did you think was going to congratulate you on that?
Me? You, my co-host. Yeah,
you,
yeah.
Oh, you thought that I was going to do that.
Hey, man, congrats.
Hey, man, absolutely not. Liverpool can suck it. Not happening.
Oh, man. See, Brian, you should have came on the pod. Brian Bartis, friend of the pod, just wanted to sit here and listen to one side of a conversation, but... That we're talking Premier League, dude. You friggin' idiot. And then he texted me a story while we've been sitting here, and now he's just got to come on later. Like, you got to come on within a couple. I want to hear that. I'm not going to tease the story. I'll tell you after. But
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Next time you're in my living room, I'm just putting a mic in your face.
Yeah.
Ime Udoka on the screen. I miss you. Yeah, man. I don't know. Everything's just kind of like the same. And it's like really frustrating on ice, and it's really nice in basketball, yeah. But it's like. On the brink of scary at any moment.
Yeah.
We just had the healthiest, youngest, most, you know, connections or just like similarities drawn publicly to Michael Jordan. Guy, non-contact, stomp his leg and maybe rupture his Achilles. Ugh. I hope I'm wrong. But I'll be very surprised.
Yeah.
So I feel like the scariness is around the corner. This is really where... it's not where boys turn to men. It's just where like shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone's already playing their best out there. The NBA is a really, really tough league and it's pretty impressive what we've done. Joe Mazzulla, you know, I got to tip my cap to what he has done to this point, but I will still constantly not believe until I do have proof in the pudding. And I think that's fair.
And I hope that he proves you wrong.
Yeah. And I hope he enjoys the town tonight. Three times.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just that road trip sucked, but I don't know. It wasn't as bad. Like the Bruins thing, it's like, yeah. Like, do we want to be worse so we can complain better? I don't get it.
No, I don't want to complain. It's just a frustrating thing where it's like, it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. And we have some really tough games coming up. We have Vegas. Islanders should not be a tough game, but the way that we've been playing it very well could be. They also are, we're battling them, the Islanders, this year for the most overtimes. I believe that we're at like 20 and they're at 21 or they're at 22, we're at 21 or something like that. So that one is just.
I'm calling this out of nowhere. We got to also be almost like battling them for overtime losses specifically.
Probably.
I'm imagining they got a lot of single points.
But. That game next Saturday or this upcoming Saturday is destined for overtime.
Yeah.
And then you
good
got
bet. Sully got says bet that.
Two very tough back to backs coming up Monday and Tuesday of Toronto and then Edmonton again. So like these yeah. And then you have Toronto again 2 days later. Like things are it's not gonna be an easy stretch coming up. So hopefully these tough games are the ones that make them like kind of snap into reality here and start playing a little bit better. But, you know, we won't know that until we actually see it happen because it's been rough for the last 11 games. So, aside from that one Vancouver game, that was the 4-0. Like, that was the shining, that was the bright spot since we've been back. So,
right. Yeah.
But other than that,
yikes.
We'll see.
Celtics got Dallas, Golden State, Cleveland, Denver, Phoenix. So,
tough.
I'd call this a good stretch to see what we really got.
Yeah, tough games.
Dallas with a tough tough buzzer beater loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Yeah. That was wild. We were watching the end of that in here. Golden State's on a tear right now. No one understands this because they're still in the play-in in the West, but since January 1st, they're the number one offense and the number four defense. I think Golden State's not only a problem down the stretch, but a problem, like clearly a problem in the playoffs.
Well, that's...
they also benched Klay Thompson, which has been positively working out, honestly, for both of them. He had a great game the other night.
That's the type of team that's like, they have so much experience and so much depth. Well, they have so much experience with like the guys that have been there and won that it's like if they make it to the playoffs, it's game on. Like there is they should be considered, you know, a real threat to go all the way.
I think it's how you thought of like Chicago and Pittsburgh in terms of, you know, in hockey. I know in the NBA, the upsets don't happen as much, or at least we haven't seen that in the last 20 years as they do in hockey. But yeah, I mean, the Warriors are probably going to get right through and be comfortably in the playoffs, even as an away team.
Yeah.
But I think they're a threat as the 10. Like I really do. I really do. It's Steph Curry. 10 in the play-in, I think they're a threat. Like,
yeah.
It's just like you, if you give them a door, you're going to get through it. And and it's like Steph has been unbelievable, as he always is. And like, I don't even think he's in sixth gear. Like, I really think he's playing in fifth gear. And once we do reach that and he does have that open door, who's to say he doesn't? He had his best performance against the Celtics 2 years ago. I don't think he's fallen off very far from that. I think there's a lot of Steph Curry to come. His game doesn't wear on his body as much. Being a shooter benefits him. And I mean, not to mention no other aspects of his game look like they've fallen off at all. I'll be happy to go to Denver and really see what we can do there. Cleveland, I want to beat. I don't understand how we match up against Cleveland. Usually we're sitting someone or they're sitting someone, but that's a team that really comes up in the East. So yeah, we're gonna learn some stuff this week on both sides.
Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that things get turned around here, but you know, only time will tell. And I think the Celtics are going to have a less of an issue, but it's not going to be easy for either side. So,
yeah, it's not going to be easy for the LAFC either. But a great first win.
All right. Well, until next week,
thank Hugo Lloris.
Thank you guys for listening. Congratulations to Bert, your regular season warrior. See what happens to you in the playoffs.
Bruins, 1 point Warriors. Fix it. Find a new nickname.
Ugh.
Be a better wrestler.
All right. We out.
Get out of here.
Watch too many